This morning, it's our privilege to be able to have Greg and Robin Hubbard with us. They are no strangers to Bethany, and if you've been with us on Friday night or yesterday morning for the breakfast, you'll know that God has already been doing a work through that ministry this weekend and by the Holy Spirit, and we're so excited for what God is doing, not only this weekend, but I believe that he's doing something in us as a church and that he's moving us forward in the call and the vision that God has given for us, and so we're so grateful for their partnership in that. You know, Greg was a youth pastor here at Bethany many years ago, and he's been ministering around the world with his wife, Robin, since then as evangelists and as missionaries, and they have been able. We've been able to partner with them in a number of ways, including with their ministry financially, and so this morning we want to do that again, and so if you would like to give to Greg and Robin, we would encourage you to do that. If you want to give to that ministry online, you can go to the Bethany website, and if you click on the drop-down menu, you select the category guest speaker, and anything in that category will be going to Greg and Robin. So if you give and select that category online, that will go there. If you want to give in the boxes in the lobby, just make sure that you mark that that's for Greg and Robin or for the Hubbard's ministry, and we'll make sure that they receive those resources because we want to be a blessing to them. They have blessed us so much, not only this weekend, but throughout the years, have they not? And we're so grateful for that work. We're so grateful for how the Holy Spirit is using their ministry, and we want to partner with that continually. And so please be sure that you support their ministry financially. And we also want to support their ministry through prayer. So be in prayer for them and continue to pray that God will anoint and use their ministry around the world as they preach the gospel in places like Africa and India and Romania, as well as here in the States. Ask for an anointing from God, for open hearts, for new opportunities, for energy that comes from the Holy Spirit, and we want to be a partnering with them spiritually in prayer as well. Thank you so much, Greg and Robin, for being with us. We're going to turn the service over to Greg. Will you give a great big Bethany welcome to Greg and Robin Hubbard?
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor Steve, and what a joy it's been to be back here at Bethany. It always is, but just such a sweet time. I can't believe it's already Sunday morning, and but we just have enjoyed every minute being here, and Pastor Stephen and Andrea, what a class couple. I just have such respect for them. I believe, and I'm not looking to embarrass them, but I believe one of the finest Bible expositor preachers in America. I mean, we follow, we listen to the messages in the preaching of the word. You're getting steak dinners every single Sunday in this house. And if you're not being fed, then you've got something wrong with your menu. And because we're just so blessed by their ministry and have great respect for them. And I love being with all of you and love being with them, but really we came to be with Lila, Elias, and Titus. That's why we're really here this week. And I just love these three amazing young people and get to spend some time with them today, whatever. And just have so much respect for them and love them. And you know, this week, I've mentioned it Friday night probably. I think I mentioned it on Saturday at the breakfast. But first time being blessed by the ministry of Pastor Camilla Grace, and been so blessed by your ministry and your spirit and just the anointing that's on this young woman of God. And we've been blessed by way of you know, live stream and all of that, whatever, but there's nothing like being there. Now, no offense to those watching online. And some of you, you know, have to be home in underlying conditions, and some need just to be set free from your pajamas and get back to coming to church. Can I get a big amen? Come on. And you know what I'm talking about. And but you know, with all due respect, but anyway, but so blessed by your ministry and this great team and Pastor Liz and the anointing on you this morning, just over the prayer, and Pastor Peter, Pastor Ken, and Pastor Amanda, I'm going to forget people, Pastor Franco, and welcome to those in the Lighthouse. Man, that's what you ought to be, because they're serving donuts and coffee and pizza. They've got a petting zoo over there for the kids, and they're giving away free puppies to the children. And so we're glad that your guys are over there in the Lighthouse, whatever, and we're believing God to move in a great way. Hey, I'm going to go to the Word in a moment, but you know, you guys, I want to say a big thank you. First of all, for the lovely hotel room, thank you for putting us up. and we appreciate that. And for your giving, you have partnered with us in great ways over the years, and we are humbled by that and never believed the doors that the Lord would open. We are small potatoes, but we serve a great big God, and it's all about Him. And some people think, well, you know, in the pandemic, you know, things, you know, came to a halt, whatever. Are you kidding me? The kingdom of God is advancing no matter what we face. And last year, though, this last trip to Africa, where I just got back Friday, it was the first time overseas in a year. But during the pandemic was one of the greatest years of missionary projects we've ever been a part of by the way of giving from people. But I want to take you on a quick tour and just a couple of pictures I want to show you and kind of highlight what God's doing, all because of your giving. The first one, real simple, these are our kids. And this is a great orphanage in Romania. We know every one of those kids by name. We will be with them in a little over a month back in Romania. And in what we're doing, matter of fact, see the boy, middle row, far left with the dark shirt? In December, he actually is officially changing his name. His name is going to be Novi Hubbard. And I'm so excited about that. But what we're doing with these kids is I forget when this picture, a little maybe 2 years ago, but we're taking the children from this orphanage on mission trips to reach unreached villages in Romania. They know the language. They're on fire for God, and God's using them in a powerful way. So that's Romania. Next pick, really quick. And this is a school in Zimbabwe, Africa. And we're going all over Zimbabwe, Africa, planting churches and having crusades. And in the mornings, we do school assemblies. In this school, and wouldn't you love this in America, we just drove up and said to the headmaster, can we talk to your students? He said, can you give me 5 minutes? And in 5 minutes, that happened. And so we're out in the field. And as he gave an introduction, the principal headmaster whispered in my ear and said, be sure to tell my children how to be born again. That's what he said. And so God is moving in schools, and we're bringing supplies and bringing all kind of things, whatever. Next picture. This is an altar call in Zimbabwe, Africa. We have a ministry director of operations in Zimbabwe, a great leader who directs all the ministry there. And there's hunger in Zimbabwe for Jesus Christ. And so planting churches, and every year we'll buy the ground, we'll put up a building, and we'll dig a well. And when I give a call like that for salvation, you say, well, you probably lead it. No, what I called up the young pastor and the wife that will pastor that church. And he will lead them to Jesus, and he'll introduce himself to his new flock. So next picture, that's Zimbabwe. See the clown? Robin's not the clown. Robin is a clown, but Robin's to the right of the clown, leading some songs. Every night in Zimbabwe, this is your giving. We have a massive kids' crusade. And that's like the first or second night. It grows every night. And we're seeing thousands of children receiving Jesus and knowing the power of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so we're so grateful for what God's doing in Zimbabwe. Next picture, only 50 more. No, I'm almost done. Okay, look really quick at that picture. Now can you take that picture off, please? These are the faces of young people in the red light district in India. And for security reasons, I shouldn't even maybe show that just quickly. But these are kids who will never know who their earthly father is. Their mothers are still working in the red light district. We began a youth camp for them about 10 years ago. And God's, those are just the younger ones, about the same number, teenagers. We have a camp for them every October. They're getting saved, filled with the Spirit. And our vision is that we're not working with the University of Valley Forge, that we're going to be sending, it's looking good for next year, our first young person from the slums of Calcutta to go to a Bible college to study for the work of the ministry. And so God, we look at it like this. If Satan can do what he's doing with trafficking, and children are being born out of trafficking, why can't Jesus raise up those kids to shake India with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is there one more, or is that it? I'm not sure. Is there one more? Oh, yeah, this is back to Zimbabwe. What we're doing in Zimbabwe, imagine waking up women at 2 in the morning to go fetch water, and that's in Zimbabwe. But what we're doing in Zimbabwe is replacing solar-powered water systems on Assembly of God church property. So we plant the church, they're going to get that. We just started last December. 6 of those are up right now. Where the women don't walk in the village and have to kind of pump the water. Sometimes it's dirty. It's solar powered. It's clean. And with that, there are 10 spigots. They bring their bucket and they turn the spigot and clean water comes out. And what they're seeing is this. Numbers of people are coming to Jesus because of the access to clean water. And so we're doing that all over Zimbabwe, Africa. And so that was a really quick overview of some things. And we love the world, but our wheelhouse is India, Zimbabwe, and Romania. So thank you for partnering with us to see those nations impacted with the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Enough of that. Not some family vacation pictures. I'm only kidding you. Hey, how about we go to God's word? Pastor Stephen said the first service ends at 3, so we have to get moving. I want to read this morning from John 16, beginning at verse number 7. John 16, beginning at verse number 7. And this morning, this whole weekend, the emphasis on the person of the Holy Spirit. And we had a narrow focus Friday, the baptism, numbers of people were baptized in the Spirit. Yesterday morning, how to walk with the Spirit, nurturing our walk with the Spirit. This morning, I'm going to kind of broaden the path a little bit, but I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, our lifeline. It's John 16, verse 7. It goes like this. Very truly I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He'll tell you what is yet to come. He'll glorify me because it is from me that I receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Now, church, and I say Holy Spirit, our lifeline. One definition of the word lifeline is something regarded as indispensable. A lifeline, something regarded as indispensable for the maintaining or protection of life. I want to say this morning at the outset, the person of the Holy Spirit is our lifeline. He's critical to maintain life and our protection. And we see this, the importance God's word places, that we are spirit-filled people. That we're spirit-led people. Because we see this as an example to lay out some groundwork in the book of Galatians. That was written to a church that began in the spirit but reverted back to the flesh. Now, I want to say something. I don't like painting with a white paintbrush. And some folks love to do this and say, well, you know what? God isn't moving anymore in the churches in America. Are you kidding me? God is moving all over the face of the earth. And we ought to be careful with those statements. And God has never been shut down. He's moving 24/7. But there are some places. There are some places and some churches and some people who began in the spirit, but they've gone back to the way of the flesh. The flesh always hates the domination of the spirit of Almighty God. And so, in the book of Galatians, Paul wrote and said to them, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? This is Galatians 3, verse 1. If you're a note taker, give me your email. I'll email you my notes for a small fee. I'm only kidding about the fee. I love the email and my notes, but you foolish Galatians, Galatians 3, 1, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I'd like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, you're now trying to finish by means of the flesh? That's a big verse. Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain. So again, I ask, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness. So what Paul's saying to the church is this. He's saying, Galatian church, what happened to you? You were running so well. Who cut in on you? You began in the Spirit, but now you're trying to finish in the flesh? And this is the great challenge for the American church in the last days, to resist the temptation, to go by the way of the flesh, to go by the way that we begin to think and our instincts. And Jude tells us the day will come. It's here right now, man. Well, there will be people who do not have the Spirit, but instead they're led by mere natural instinct. God never meant for the church to be led by mere natural instinct. But that's what the flesh does. The flesh says, well, you know what? Again, instincts aren't always bad. I come to a busy road, I look both ways. And instincts aren't, there's a lot of good instincts. But in the kingdom, natural instincts can be deadly. They can become poisonous. And I'm sure not here, but we're traveling a little bit now for 36 years. I've been to a couple places where some are being held hostage, not by the sense of the move of the Spirit, but being held hostage, or they're being kept back by going back to natural instinct. And Paul says to the Galatians, he says, why are you being so foolish? Now this morning my prayer is this, that you, your appetite is so triggered and you get so thirsty that you want more of God's Spirit than ever before, when we realize in a new way, nothing new, nothing profound, but when we get a fresh reminder, why is the Holy Spirit our lifeline? Now the one that says, I'm not looking to make any enemies, I love this church. I'm not looking for a fight this morning, but if you're sitting in church and go, Greg, you know what? Listen, I've been around for a while, okay? I know this. This will fly right by you. I'm talking to somebody in the room. Your heart beats a little bit faster right now. You want to see revival. You want to see God shake in Massachusetts. You want to see youth revival and kids revival. We want God to shake this area. You're the one I'm talking to. But in those that are held hostage by the Spirit that impacted the church of Galatia, I pray God sets you free in the name of Jesus. Why should we rejoice over the fact that the Holy Spirit is our lifeline? Number one, very simple. Because He is the one that began this whole thing. He is the one that draws us. John 16:7, very truly I tell you, for good that I'm going away, unless I go, we read it. The advocate will not come to you, and I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he'll prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. John 6:44 tells us, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I'll raise them up at the last day. Now, what are you saying? He's our lifeline. If you are a follower of Jesus, it didn't begin with us. It began by the drawing power of the Spirit of Almighty God. When somebody says, and you may have heard this, some people say, listen, I'll get saved whenever I want to. No, you won't. No one comes to Christ whenever they want to. It's only by the tug and the pull and the draw of the Spirit of Almighty God. In my prayer, listen, the Galatian Spirit, or that religion, I'd rather battle a demon in Africa than a religious spirit in America, I'm telling you right now. But when you and I get to a place That we think, well, you know, just whatever I want to, whatever. Listen, we only come to Christ when God tugs. And that's what our desire should be. And I believe it's here. Listen, God, fill Bethany's services with a sense of the divine. Let there be a sense that God is in this place. Let the glory of God be so thick in this room that when visitors walk in, they sense my word. I sense God in this place. But when the natural flesh takes over, we start thinking, well, I got a better way to do this. Let's do this in a way that we don't overdo it and turn people off. Let's not upset people with the seeker sensitive deal. And there's something to be said for that to a degree. But the thing we often are fearful that will turn people off is the very thing they need to turn them on for Jesus. I've never once walked into a library and said, you know what? I got to get out of here. Kind of freaking out. Too many books in here. I never once walked into Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks, if you like your coffee for $39.95. Never once walked into Starbucks and thought, you know what? I feel kind of awkward, and I would expect in this sin. There's so much coffee here. Listen, you walk into a library, expect books. You walk into Donut Dip, you expect the best donuts on the face of the earth. You walk into Partners, the best breakfast you'll get inside of heaven. And when you walk into Bethany, Assembly of God, may people sense that God is in this room. How many of you are hungry for a donut right now? Come on. You're thinking, dear God, does it have to go there? My gosh. He draws us. He draws us. Don't ever underestimate the power of the tug of the Holy Spirit. He knows how to draw people. He doesn't kick people and slap people. He draws people. He's a gentle Savior, but the tug of heaven can overpower crack cocaine. It can overpower demons in darkness. He's our lifeline. If you're saved, I'm not talking Catholic, Protestant, or vegetarian. If Jesus is your Savior, you've been the recipient of the tug of God's Spirit. In Zimbabwe 2 years ago, honey, am I yelling too much this morning in the first service? Okay, I'm sorry, dear. Here we go. It's in the evangelist manual. Listen to your wife at all times. Can I get a big amen? Come on. We're in Zimbabwe. Had a crusade like you saw, and people coming to Christ. And the first Sunday after the crusade, we launched, it's the first service for that new church. And it's a glorious time. That new pastor is excited, his wife, and just the excitement, the new souls. And I remember 2 years ago at a village outside Harare in Stone Ridge area, I remember a woman came that morning and they took time for testimonies. I'll take a good testimony over gossip any day of the week. Religious spirits love gossip. They love and they can disguise it to make it sound so spiritual, but really it comes from the pit of hell itself. But spirit-filled people love knowing what Jesus is doing, what God is doing. That's what they talk about. And so this woman came. Testimonies of miracles and healings. And I remember one woman, she came up and full of demons and was delivered, and she burned the clothing she wore in her cult. And she came that morning and gave testimony. But one woman came, gave a testimony. She said, through the interpreter, she said, I never attended one crusade meeting. We call them now festivals of hope. But she said, I never came to one service. She said, I told my husband, I'm not going. And she said, I never came to one service. But she said, one night, I was outside my home, which is a mud hut with a thatched roof. She said, I was cooking my family dinner, a sudsa, on the open fire. And she said, I did not attend a meeting, but she said, God came to that little fire. And I heard the message of a Jesus that loved me and sees me and knows me. I heard about a Jesus that shed his blood and died for me. She says, I didn't want to go to him, but Jesus came to me by that fire. And she said, by my fire, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That woman is now one of the leaders in that new church in Stoneview or Stone Ridge, Zimbabwe, Africa. All because no one knows how to draw people. No one knows how to draw people like the person of the Holy Spirit. And don't be that person, the fleshly dominated person says, well, you know what, Greg, it's people don't want God in New England and whatever, and nobody wants God. Listen, if Jesus saved you and Jesus saved me, he can save anybody, church. But when someone's mouthing that, just say au revoir, and just say, you know what, let's keep our eyes upon Jesus and believe that the tug of the Spirit is still the lifeline to save those who are lost. Point number two, he doesn't just draw us, but when we come to Christ, the one that draws us now indwells us. He lives within us. How many are glad that you are the home for the Holy Spirit? Can somebody say amen? Romans 8:11, and yet the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? How about 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. And here it is, because the one who is in you is greater than he who was in this world. You know, it's been amazing over the many years here, Bethany, at the pastor's office. I've been in there a few times over the years. I remember when Pastor Berkey, and he'd walk in and his office was set up a certain way. Well, why? Because he was the one that occupied that office. Then Pastor Copas here, and you walk in the office, and it looked different than Pastor Berkey, because Pastor Berkey did not occupy the office, but Pastor Cope now, and so he set up the office because he now occupied that office. And then Pastor Adams, and I'd walk in there, and there are different things, and pictures, missions, whatever. And different than Pastor Berkey, Pastor Cook, because now Pastor Adams occupied that office. I walked in the office a couple nights ago. Pastor Stephen Tay now occupies that office. And I walked in, and it wasn't like Pastor Berkey, it wasn't like Pastor Cope, it wasn't like Pastor Adams, and it wasn't supposed to be. If God always wanted it to be the same, then God wouldn't have brought about change. But the office is different now. Not bad, it's different. Fleshly people don't like different, but people of the Spirit are not old, cracked, stiff wineskins, but they can be flexible to the new that God has done. And so his office, it represents him. When you accepted Jesus, the Spirit came to occupy and set up his home inside you. Imagine how rude it would be if I came to your house for lunch. We'll be with the Tays for lunch this afternoon. I think Titus is cooking lunch, or Layla maybe. And so imagine if I walked in, said the house is awesome, but let's move the couch over here, and this picture, my gosh, Pastor Adams had it like this, and oh, this over here, whatever. That'd be so rude and so wrong. When you come to Christ, we are now no longer our own. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. That freaks out some people. Some want the gift of heaven, but don't want to give ownership over the house. Lord, I want to go to heaven, but I want to call the shouts. That's the spirit of the Galatian church. And Paul would say, are you being ridiculous? Are you being foolish? What's happened to you? There's somebody breathing in the room this morning, and God's saying to you, in the words of the old song in the King James Version, I wrote this song many years ago. It says, know ye not, ye are the temple. How many remember that song? Know ye not, ye are. That's why I don't sing. And God's saying to somebody in the room, have you forgotten? You no longer own yourself, but you now belong to me. So we invite Jesus to come in. He comes in by the person of the Holy Spirit. He comes to dwell within us. The old, if any man is in Christ, the old is gone, and the new has come. The new is, and listen, I'm not talking chasing fads and being goofy, but don't be afraid of the new thing God wants, both individually and corporately. And so if you're a believer in the Lighthouse Room or watching in Romania, wherever you're from, I pray that you get a fresh revelation that if you're a follower of Christ, God lives inside of you. And when we walk with that revelation, it changes how we talk. It changes where we go, because we are not just hosting, but we have given over. We've yielded, and Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Somebody say amen. Come on. He's our lifeline. He's our Don't fight this. Don't fight this, because I get that. Greg, preach, sweat, spit. Listen. Greg, I made an arrangement with the Lord. No, you haven't. Greg, listen, I know what the Bible says, but I told the Lord, listen, nobody's got some little added type of a resolution with your name next to it that you can accept Christ in and still be ornery and wicked or lost or carnal. We must walk with a sense that I am the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I don't want to offend him. I don't want to grieve him. I want to honor him. I want him to know that I recognize his presence. How many are glad that God by the Spirit lives inside of you this morning? Somebody shout a big amen. The third thing, I'm almost done. The one that draws us, the one that dwells within us, is now the one who's able to help us. He said, it's good I'm going back to the Father, because when I do, the helper is going to come. I love what it says in Psalm 121, verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I love Psalm 118, 7. The Lord is with me. You know, that's just half the verse or part of it. You're going through hell and going through cancer. Listen, the Lord is with you. Your husband walked out. Your kids are running. The Lord is with you. It says, he is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. And I love Psalm 46:1. It says, God is our refuge. He's our strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. There's somebody breathing in the room today, and God wants to give you a fresh blast of a simple truth, that when you respond to the drawing of the Spirit and come to know Christ, become a temple of the Holy Spirit. My friend, the Spirit, your lifeline, you now have access to the benefits of walking in the Spirit, not for the flesh. Now, those that resist being Spirit-led, those who resist, you'll be governed by your moods. You'll be governed by your preferences. And I mentioned yesterday morning at the breakfast and that the church isn't here to honor our preferences. The church is here to help us fulfill our purpose for God. The fleshly person is all about preference. But the Spirit-filled person is all about God's purpose. Don't you want to be filled with God's purpose for your life? I remember hearing years ago of a church, and this is way back when they used hymnals, whatever. Of course, I've written many of the great hymns. I love the hymns. Amazing Grace, you know, how great thou art. I give God all the praise. They needed new hymn books. This is a lot of years ago. Some people think you can't worship without a hymn book. That's just foolishness. Don't tell that to somebody in a village in Africa, okay? Don't tell them that. They'll discourage them. I can worship Jesus anywhere, any place, with a keyboard, with bongos, some guy rubbing some sticks together. When Jesus is the object of our worship, we can worship Jesus anywhere, any place, in any house, church. And so they said we need new hymn books. And one guy said, God spoke to me and said, we need to get red hymn books, because red represents the blood of Jesus. Well, who's going to fight that? Okay, the blood of Jesus. I'm not messing with the blood of Jesus. Someone else said, no, God spoke to me and said, we need blue hymn books. It speaks of royalty and kingship and your crown, the blue heaven. And they got together in a church meeting, and doesn't this bless your heart? That church split right down the middle. They were arguing and fighting and just bickering at each other. So they split the church, and now in town, you got not one but two churches. You got the red hymn book church, and you got the blue hymn book church. You know what I say this morning, church? You're much kinder. I say, God doesn't give a rip whether it's leopard skin hemp, whether it's orange or polka dotted, but what he wants is hearts that lift up the name that is above every other name. That's what God wants. And I get it. Religious people hate this. But when you're filled with God's Spirit, there's a sense. There's a sense. Oh, God, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I can honor you anywhere, any place. What a joy. So when we walk with him now, he's now our helper. Is there somebody breathing in the room, in this room, online, in the lighthouse? And you need to know that God is still the helper to those who live and serve him. In 2000, there was an earthquake that hit Haiti. I want you to see that God is our active helper. He's our helper. You should be able to giggle to your car saying, my God's going to get me through what I'm in right now. God's going to be faithful. God's going to see me through. How am I going to believe God's going to get you through the battle you're facing right now? Somebody shout a big amen. Amen. The earthquake hit in 2000. Haiti's done many, many tragedies and disasters. And they, after 29 days after the earthquake, they recovered the last living person. He was buried for 29 days in a space the size of a casket, enough room to maybe turn over a little bit. He was there 29 days after the building came down he was in. He's the last recorded rescue. They rescued that dead bodies all over. 29 days later, he's alive. They were so excited when they saw him, and he was breathing very weakly, of course, and they moved the rubble and did things, and they dragged him out, whatever, and they were shocked what they saw, and he could speak with a whisper, and they said, how did you survive this? How were you alive 29 days after the earthquake? What did you do? He said, I don't want to waste too much breath, so I just kept on praying three words. Hope in God, 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 hope in God. Listen, when everything's taken from you, you can still hope in the God that never fails. And then they said this. They said it's crazy. Because when they found the man, he wasn't just lying there alone, but around him were 29, remember, 29 empty bottles of spring water. They said, exactly, huh, exactly. Because imagine that one of the workers said, how incredible that when the building came down that you have putting out those bottles of water. He said, you got it wrong. He said, when that building came down, I had nothing with the clothes on my back. But he said, the first day, I just whispered, I was going to hope in God. And listen careful, and this is where the flesh people are going to kind of check out. But those who believe in the supernatural, you'll tune in right now. Amen. He said, for 29 days, a man with a white robe came to visit me, and he handed me a bottle of spring water. He did not give me 29 bottles on the first day, but every time I whispered, hope in God, there he was with a bottle of water. I'm not saying he was the same angel that pushed the stone away, because that was an angel wearing a white robe. But what I am saying is this, you might feel smothered. You might feel like you're going down. You might feel like you're not going to get through this. You might feel, Greg, am I ever going to get it back? I've got great news. The helper is in this room. His name is Jesus, and he knows how to rescue his children, church. He's our helper. He's our helper. Somebody say it. He is my helper. Come on, somebody. He is the God that wants to help you. One more story. I just got back Friday, and the missionary I was with, who was my translator in West Africa, he shared about, I think maybe a dozen years ago, he was in a vehicle, a Land Cruiser, speedlight vehicle, driving along the road, and a truck pulled up full of Al-Qaeda. Pulled up close, and they'd been not wanting the vehicles. But the water, the engines in that kind of a vehicle, they could sell them and get all kinds of money. He said, there's one of our aging missionaries. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer over our missionaries. They need to be covered by our prayers. And he said, the guy, the passenger, opened up a machine gun and shot through the door of the speed of light vehicle. It blew out his knee, and totally blew it out, his left knee. And he got shot twice, and he pulled off into a field. He rolled out on the ground bleeding. The team was with him, three or four, with a young child. And when the Al-Qaeda came around them, one guy said, let's kill them all right now and take the vehicle. One guy said, not me, I'm not killing children. They began to argue among themselves and said, get their phone, their wallets, their whatever, and we'll leave them here to die natural. And they drove out, left them in the desert. Missionary Brent Teague said, I laid there bleeding. They put a tourniquet around my leg, and I told my team to go walk for help somewhere, try, and they were out in the middle of nowhere, but I had to do something. And he said, I'm praying, God, be with my wife. Watch over my children, God, if you're taking me. He said it was about 45 minutes later, an ambulance pulled up to where he was. An ambulance pulled up in the middle of nowhere. He was shocked, and in it was the other workers they picked up on the road. Missionary Brent Teague said, how did you know where to find us? And he said, the ambulance person, how do we know? We got an anonymous phone call that there was a severe injury, and we were given the exact coordinates as to where you were. He says, when did you call? He says, I didn't call. They took my phone. He said, when did you get a phone call? It was timed on their phone. The phone call came in to rescue Brent a half an hour before the attack took place. What does that mean? Don't tell me God isn't big. Before you get to a place and the devil said, look, you're done. You're going under. God is already on the way to rescue you and to be your help. Honey. Am I yelling and talking too fast? I'm doing it again, aren't I? I'm sorry. What is that? Oh, dear heavens. Dear heavens. My goodness. And I got this card. I just got this. I just got this. I just got this. Okay. 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 These signs shall follow those who believe. Okay. All righty. Okay, Pastor Camilla Grace, you better come. Okay, my wife said I got to slow down. You keep, come up with your team. Just kidding, you baby. How many are still with me in the room right now? The Holy Spirit isn't our pet that we let loose in a service when we feel like that would be a good moment. The Holy Spirit must never be put on a leash. One person said to me, well, we're Pentecostal, but we want to be careful. And listen, no one's ever put, people say, well, you know, that church, they put God in a box. God has never spent a second in somebody's box. We can get stuck in a box, but Jesus Christ, he lives and moves however he chooses. He's our helper. He's our helper. I'm almost done. Stay with me, light. Come on, Lighthouse. Come on. Come on, the person in the front row to the left, come on, you stay still now. Don't be talking to the person next to you. Just kidding, I didn't know who you are. He's our helper. You could play something soft, something that I wrote. Thank you. Here we go. He's our guide. He's our lifeline. He guides us. Jesus said, I've got much more to say to you, more you can now bear, but when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he'll guide you in all truth. He'll speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come. Psalm 23:3, come on, basic Bible. He refreshes my soul, and he guides me along the right path for his namesake. Psalm 48:14, for this God is our God. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. Mike and Ana Desculescu escaped Romania before communism broke. Actually, their story's being put in a book. They're native Romanians. They introduced us to Romania maybe over 20 years ago. They came to America. Their testimony of hanging off the side of a ship, God made them invisible to policemen along the shore in police boats. And their story is of the supernatural power of the Spirit of God to lead us and to guide us and to draw us and to help us. They come to America. She gets a nursing degree, Anna. He opens up an automobile shop and was a mechanic, had a beautiful home, built their home. And guess where they are now? They're in the Banyasa region of Romania, and we work with them to reach these Turkish Muslim villages. They escaped from Romania, and now they're back. And people said to them, what are you doing? You escaped that land. Why are you going back? When you are controlled by the flesh, you'll do what's easy for the flesh. But when you're controlled by the lifeline, the Holy Spirit of God, you will go wherever God has called you to go. And you know what, church? It sounds really good, I know. Man, left America, back to Romania. Maybe God's Spirit isn't calling you to Romania. Maybe God's calling you to say, you know what? I've been saved for a lot of years. I'm going to that class at 1 o'clock. I'm going to teach some kids the Word of God. Listen, and we look at sometimes like we get called to big things or small things. Don't ever expect God to open up big doors if we don't walk through any door. And I'm not saying to teach the kids, I can't think of a bigger door than to speak in the life of a boy or a girl. You cannot tell me in this crowd this morning, there's not somebody in the room that has never done, and God's saying to you, I need you. Your flesh says, well, no, that takes up your Sunday. That ruins your brunch. Let it ruin your brunch. Say, God, I want to do it your way, Lord. I challenge us, friends. Let's allow ourselves to be guided by the person of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to skip one, and I'm going to end with this. Let's stand all over the room. I've kept it for too long. We're going to end in seconds, I promise. In the lighthouse, don't touch your keys. They'll explode in your hands. At home, come on, you're in your jammies, you got to get up to you. Come on, those pajamas should have been sold at a yard sale 30 years ago, but come on, stand up right now with us. The Holy Spirit, He draws us, He comforts us, He's our comforter. And 2 Corinthians 1 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. If there's somebody breathing in the room today, there's been some challenge, there's been some whatever, but maybe you're in the room and what you need this morning is the comforting ministry of the Holy Spirit. Your heart's been crushed, your heart's been broken, and you're in a place you never thought you would ever be. In India right now, just in the last few days, 450 Assemblica pastors have died in India because of COVID and the impact to those wives and those children. India needs a breakthrough, a miracle, but India needs to know the comforting ministry of the Holy Spirit of heaven. Can you say a big amen? So here's my prayer. I dug a wide path. My prayer for any and everybody breathing in this room, you'll walk out saying, I don't want to be like the Galatians. I don't want to begin in the Spirit, but then get fleshy and then start calling the shots and get stuck in the way I think it ought to go. But I want to be led by the person of the Holy Spirit. And you watch God use you. You watch God direct you. You watch God anoint you. You watch God help you. Because the Holy Spirit is our lifeline. Takes coffee out of Starbucks. It's just an expensive muffin. That's what it is. Take ice cream out of Friendly's. I don't know. They got other stuff, but we cannot afford to lose the power in the presence of the Holy Spirit in these last days. Amen. I'm going to do this so different than I normally would as an evangelist, and the clock is ticking. If you have never accepted, normally I would call, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, We're not talking joining a church, a denomination. You can join that and go to hell by 2 o'clock today. Join every choir. You'll die and go. But when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, as you respond to the draw of the Spirit, He can save you right now. Balcony, overflow, online, what do I do? If you cannot remember with some clarity ever receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm not asking you. I beg people, don't play with this. This is your eternity. This is your forever. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. So all you do is pray a prayer like this. Just pray a prayer like Jesus. I realize and accept that you are the Son of God and died on the cross, rose up from the dead, and right now I give you all my sins. Prayer like this. I confess all my sins, but I give you more than my sins. I give you myself. Today I receive you as my Savior and as my Lord. And today I choose to follow you all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for forgiving my sin and saving my soul. Pray that kind of a prayer. In Jesus Christ. If you're watching online, you're praying that, type it in the chat area. Or if you're in the lighthouse area, talk to one of the staff. If you're in this room, we'll be at the altar for however long needed. Let the one that brought you know, hey, you know what? At the end, I prayed that prayer. I just received Jesus. Let somebody know that you just gave your heart to Jesus. And right now, we're going to close in prayer, and we're going to ask God for Bethany individually and corporately to be flooded by a fresh wave of the Spirit of Almighty God. And Pastor Franco and the Lighthouse Church, he should be coming right now and end this service and praying for you that the Spirit of God would always be our lifeline. So thank you, Pastor Franco, for coming right now. Lift a hand up all over this room. Come on. Lift a hand up all over this room. I want to pray right where you are. Father, I ask you for the wind of your Spirit to blow in this room right now. I pray, let revival rock Bethany Assembly of God. I pray for revival, not what men think you should be, not what men think you should look like, but you do it your way, Lord. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. I pray front row. I pray back row. I pray the newest attender to the longest standing member. Let there come a fresh wind of the Spirit to blow through this house. Draw people. God, comfort people. Help people. Lord, just fill us. I pray for revival to flood every single person that's watching right now. We surrender to you, Lord. We ask you again, send revival to Bethany. Would you cry that out to God right now? Come on. Send revival to Bethany. Come on, one more time. Send revival to Bethany. Let's thank the Lord together. Come on. Let's thank the Lord together. I worship you, Jesus. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to song in a moment. We start singing, you'll be dismissed. You need prayer coming up to the altar. I'd love to pray with you. But may we leave this place with a fire burning. This is, I want to be a person of the Spirit in these last days. Amen. I already can't wait to see you the next time. I love you so much. Have a great day in the Lord. And may God be your helper throughout this day. God bless you. Let's sing it while they go. You need prayer. Come on up to the altar if you need prayer. And we'll believe God to move in a great way. Let's sing and worship as we go out.